The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, I am Avra Lewis with the North Carolina Reading Service, and for the next half hour, I will be reading to you from Essence Magazine. The first article is titled, Feats, Finances, and Fashion, The Comeback of Carnival. This revered celebration of culture and tradition is a serious multi-billion dollar business. There's nothing quite like Carnival in the islands. It's a life-affirming ritual, a commemoration of freedom from oppression, and an explosion of creative energy that produces experiences unlike any other. Held at various times throughout every year in different territories, Caribbean Carnival festivities are massive, multi-day events steeped in beloved traditions that draw thousands of people to the islands from across the globe. Carnival is part of the society's DNA, says Joanne Toll, PhD, coordinator of Carnival Studies at the University of the West Indies St. Augustine campus in Trinidad and Tobago. It has historical meaning. It's spiritual for some people. It's about patriotism for others who might be returning home from abroad. And, of course, we see the generational impact on the diaspora. But beyond the lure of tradition, all-inclusive feats, vibrant costumes, and the pulsating sounds of steel, pan, and soca music, Carnival is one of the biggest economic drivers and community builders for many Caribbean countries. It is about the socioeconomic impact, said Toll. Carnival generates employment. Carnival is an important part of the region's cultural and creative industries, an ecosystem that generates more than $124 billion in yearly revenue in the Caribbean and Latin America, according to UNESCO. This dynamic global industry employs thousands of people year-round, including costume designers, musicians, food suppliers, dancers, and concierge service providers. And yet, the regional economic impact of these annual festivals in the Caribbean is not widely documented. For Solange Govia, the highlight of each pre-Lateran merrymaking period in Trinidad, home to perhaps the best-known carnival event in the region, is seeing people parading through the streets of Port of Spain decked out in her elaborate designs. The joy of my career is seeing masqueraders wearing my stuff and thanking me after, she says. Govia has been a costume designer for more than 12 years with Tribe Carnival, one of Trinidad's largest mass, short for masquerade, bands. She is also an operations manager for the Tribe Group of Companies, which works with 105 local producers behind the scenes to coordinate the carnival needs. The process starts at least 1 year in advance. Additionally, the mass band typically employs some 1,500 people to cover event management, bar setups, costume pickup, and security for the thousands of masqueraders who participate annually. Many people see the Trinidad Carnival and other carnivals, but they don't see the number of people behind it, Govia says, and we are just one band. In 2020, approximately 38,000 tourists flocked to the country during the carnival season, which culminated in February, just days before the pandemic lockdowns began. There was a 6.5% increase in visitors from 2019, and carnival goers spent nearly $60 million over a three-week period. But a year later, due to the ongoing coronavirus pandemic, the annual celebrations were canceled. Many like Govia, who depend on preparations for the festivities to generate revenue and a livelihood year-round were left in limbo. Some people are like, gosh, y'all are only focused on wine, jam, and partying, she says. Meanwhile, we are just trying to make a living and survive. This experience takes a huge emotional toll on carnival workers, and having it canceled was hard for us. People don't truly understand how vast the carnival ecosystem is and how many lives and livelihoods are affected by the interruption of the pandemic. Kelvin Jacob, CEO of Grenada's Spice Moss Corporation, which organizes the island's Spice Moss Carnival, says that now more than ever, it's important to understand carnival's economic importance in the Caribbean region. It's not just a canceled party. When we look at revenue generation, we are not just looking at revenue for the Spice Moss Corporation, but across the entire island, he explains. It has a trickle-down effect from corporate to the man on the street. If there is no Spice Moss in 2022, this will negatively impact the entire carnival and business ecosystem in Grenada. The effect of 2021's canceled Caribbean carnival season is also being felt beyond the region's borders. The majority of the more than 70 diaspora carnivals, which take place globally, including in major cities like London, Toronto, and New York City, were also called off, meaning Caribbean nationals who work across the international carnival industry had to pivot in the ways that they conduct their business. For example, DJ Private Ryan, one of the best known DJs on the scene and creator of the international festival Soca Brainwash, went from bringing the island vibes to countries around the world to hosting events virtually for more than a year. It was a situation where you had all your grand plans, which now had to be tweaked, because where you should have been on a certain date, had the world been open, you weren't anymore anywhere near there, he says. However, Ryan has been able to use the COVID-19 shutdowns to his advantage by looking ahead to the carnival industry's future. For me, it has been about reimagining what the event space can be and enhancing the experience, he explains. Reimagining the event space and realigning plans for the future is also the focus for Antigua-based Top Shelf Events, a 3-year-old carnival entity working through financial losses caused by the pandemic and the need to restructure its business model. We are still in that space of just offering small events and exclusive events, explains the company's creative director, Lynicia George. But with COVID, the organizers have pivoted to curating bubbles within which people can party safely. We have also been developing and working on our product and designing what our business model will look like when things fully open up again. In spite of the losses across the Caribbean region, the spirit remains of carnival and the joy it brings. This is a global community of professionals who literally do what they do for the culture. And they are committed to seeing this vital industry make a huge comeback, hopefully in 2022. You know, carnival culture is very unique, says George. It will be interesting to see how we are going to rally and move forward from this, but the rise will be greater. The next article is titled, Haiti is Exploited, Not Cursed. A historian reflects on the intersecting crisis affecting her mother's Caribbean homeland and, quote-unquote, bad luck has nothing to do with it. Haiti has suffered one blow after another this year. Before, a 7.2 magnitude earthquake devastated the country's southern peninsula in August, and a tropical storm caused severe flooding days later, media outlets reported on the July assassination of the nation's president. Appeals for the United States to send aid to Haiti abounded. Such calls for assistance are not new and do not reflect any particular interest in quote-unquote helping Haitians. In 1915, U.S. President Woodrow Wilson's administration used the death of a different Haitian president as a pretext to invade. But the United States had already seen assassinations of three of its own presidents, Lincoln, Garfield, and McKinley. The real reason for the occupation was economic. Fearing that upheaval in the Haitian government might cause them to default on U.S.-backed loans, the United States government ordered Marines to seize $500,000 worth of gold reserves. The U.S. stayed in Haiti for 19 long years. It was the second longest military occupation in U.S. history. After Afghanistan, more than 15,000 Haitians lost their lives fighting against the United States' seizure of Haitian sovereignty. The memory of this occupation and occupations in 1994 and 2004 has cast a shadow over Haiti's glorious past as the first nation to permanently abolish slavery. In 2010, another devastating earthquake happened. Foreign troops again arrived in Haiti. Approximately 250,000 people perished, most of them near the quaked center, the capital of Port-au-Prince. During their so-called stabilization mission, UN peacekeepers brought another disaster to the island, a cholera epidemic caused by their improper waste disposal. Nearly 10,000 more Haitians died. Hundreds of thousands became ill as Haitian nationals saw poverty, violence, and corruption increase. Millions in stolen or misappropriated aid funds fueled a legendary industry of disaster capitalism. Instead of condemning those seeking to profit from a disaster, Haiti's former president, Michel Martelly, proudly proclaimed that the country was open for business. For anyone wondering if the earthquake that hit Haiti's southern peninsula on August 14th of this year means that the country is cursed, as religious pundit Pat Robertson claimed after the 2010 quake, the answer is no. Haiti sits on two geologic faults, the Septentrional in the north and the Enriquillo Plantain in the south. So it is susceptible to earth tremors, but the country's geopolitical fault lines are also devastating. For two centuries, elites across the world have undermined Haitian sovereignty and impoverished its people. This began in 1825 when the country was forced into an agreement to pay France 150 million francs as the price of the freedom Haitian revolutionaries had already purchased with their spilled blood. As history shows, if natural disasters have been deadly for Haiti, so have the human-made ones. We are in trouble with the world system, laments Haitian singer Mano in his 1988 album of the same name. Yes, Haiti has been in trouble with great powers ever since its revolution for freedom in 1804. With an assassination, an earthquake, and floods this year, and U.S. soldiers leaving behind a disaster in Afghanistan to quote-unquote help Haiti, we are in trouble with the world system indeed. The next article is titled, Heal for the Holidays. Is it time to mend a broken bond with someone you love? Forgiveness can be a powerful first step. During the holidays, many of us will gather to celebrate the spirit of the season with close friends and family from near and far. As lovely as that sounds, the truth is, sometimes spending time with loved ones isn't as feel-good a moment as your favorite holiday movie on TV might suggest. Coming together can often mean coming to terms with the fact that you may not have a positive relationship with everyone you love. It happens. Life happens. But holding on to grudges isn't good for you. Not only can unresolved negative emotions lead to chronic stress and destabilizing mood swings, but studies show that harboring resentment and anger can affect your blood pressure and heart rate as well. Fortunately, embracing forgiveness can improve both your mental and physical health. It is why releasing those grudges is a critical component of healing during the journey. But how do we get there? Let's explore. Recovering from a heartbreak or betrayal by someone you care about can be difficult and painful, but it is necessary to try. If you are still mad at your aunt for her overly harsh critiques of you last Christmas, it is time to let that go for you. Holding on to negative feelings towards someone else can have a ripple effect on how you interact with others, and you may not even be aware of it. Unhealed wounds show up in every area of our lives, says Thema Bryant, PhD, a licensed psychologist, professor of psychology, and ordained elder who directs the mental health ministry of First AME Church in South Los Angeles. Even if we try not to think about it or talk about it, they affect us emotionally, and they also affect the way we think about ourselves and approach other relationships. In other words, our painful past can unconsciously haunt us and distort both our present and future circumstances. Unhealed hurt can also provoke us to lose control. It can contaminate or pollute our interactions going forward because we tend to live our lives based on scripts that were developed in the wake of past painful experiences, explains Bryant. When you allow those negative emotions to fester, they can alter your overall sense of safety and make you feel constantly attacked. We feel misunderstood and unsupported, and when we walk through life with that being our understanding of ourselves, it can create either insecurity or a vigilance where we are constantly looking for slights or expecting them, notes Bryant. We are not really at home or comfortable within ourselves. Releasing pain from your past is the best gift you can give yourself, insists Charnel Neptune Darby, MA, a mental health counselor at Human Told, a New York City-based psychotherapy clinic. Forgiveness allows you to let go and refocus on self, she adds. Your soul deserves peace. You cannot begin to resolve or address an emotional wound if you cannot first identify what's eating at you and ask why. Ask yourself, are both of you still angry or hurting, or has the other person already moved on? A lot of times, people who have harmed us have gone on with their lives and aren't even thinking about us, says Bryant, and we can get stuck in our heads where we are replaying the hurt over and over, and they become the center of our conversation. Years later, that's who you are always talking about. That means you're stuck. It is still central to your life, and so you are constantly being triggered. For some, the painful memories don't just live in the past, and it is important for us to distinguish if we are enduring ongoing trauma. The reality is some people have been hurt by family members who continue to do and say hurtful things, says Bryant. Then it's not enough for us just to say, oh, that was a long time ago. It's like, well, that's how it showed up when I was a child. But even now, as an adult, they continue to do those things, just on a different scale. But Bryant points out that while trauma deeply affects us, it doesn't have to define us. If your entire identity is tied up in lingering negativity toward a person, it is time to break free. Forgiveness and healing often go hand in hand, but it is important to remember that they are not the same thing. Healing is the process of restoration and bringing light to certain parts of our lives that we have closed off for so long, explains Neptune Darby. While forgiveness is a conscious and emotional aspect, a decision you make to move forward, and it can be a solo act too. Forgiveness does not require the other person to be sorry, emphasizes Bryant. She also makes the distinction that you don't have to forgive someone to be healed from a trauma they may have caused you. You can decide, I am choosing to release this pain so that I'm not held hostage to my anger or resentment anymore. But I cannot reconcile what happened, and I cannot heal this relationship with a person who is not changed, transformed, repentant, or sorry. Understand, healing takes time. This process does not happen overnight, says Neptune Darby. You cannot pick up a magic wand and poof, it's gone. Healing requires patience, love, and hard work, and you will have to be brave enough to face the raw, hurtful parts of the process. Bryant shares three elements she believes are critical to the restorative process: recognizing who or what caused you pain, believing that you are capable of forgiving or being forgiven, and then being honest with yourself about what it is you are hoping to accomplish with that person before you reach out to them. If you are the one who must apologize to someone you have hurt or disappointed, Bryant says, an apology is best when it is followed by changed behavior. On the flip side, be open to the fact that you and the other person may not see the situation the same way. The other person has their own mind, heart, interpretation, and experience, so they are not going to be your puppet. And you will need to have the emotional maturity to be at peace with how they respond. Bryant continues, when you are truly ready to make amends or move on with clarity, patience, and open communication, positive changes will follow. Most importantly, you will finally be free. The next article is titled, Fetching Finds. For all of the style-minded pet lovers out there, lifestyle director Charlie Penn brings you the ultimate splurge list. Everyone knows that a pet's personality can sometimes mirror that of its owner. If that's the case, shouldn't your pet personal style reflect yours too? I firmly believe that if you aren't willing to settle for the basics, your beloved four-legged family members shouldn't either. These fur-friendly accessories really pop, combining both substance and flair. Tall order number one. Dogs get their daily outings, but our feline friends need a little excitement too. This one-of-a-kind cat tree could easily be mistaken for living room decor, but it's packed with features cats enjoy, like baskets, varied textures, and real tree branches. Playtime just got an upgrade. Number two, walk this way. Imagine an ultra chic pet boutique. So after falling in love with her Miniature Pup in 2016, she created Sir Dogwood, an online store that sells an exclusive collection of modern, globally curated pet accessories, like this eye-catching collar and leash combo, sold separately. Number 3, Snow More Worries. For the fur babies who sometimes catch a chill on outdoor winter jaunts, this lightweight, water-resistant snuggleware comes in 7 sizes and 3 trendy colors. What could be cuter or cozier? Number 4, Jet Set. Airline-compliant pet carriers are necessary if your little darling is as adventurous as you are, but they are often an eyesore. Well, this compromise isn't necessary. This baby triples as a carrier, car seat, and mobile pet bed, and it comes in a selection of styles to match any outfit you packed. There's even a bonus leash. Number 5, Sweet Dreams. Finding a dog bed that effortlessly blends in with your furnishings and that's actually comfortable enough to impress your pooch can be a lot like looking for a needle in a haystack. Needle found, this vintage-inspired, eco-friendly lounger won't disappoint, and it has the rave reviews to prove it. Number 6, Positively Delicious. Feeding time isn't always fun when your dog or cat is a picky eater or on a special diet. Swap that standard bowl for this innovative one designed by veterinarian Joe J. Owens III. The trick? Place foods your pet loves, maybe meat, beans, or sauce, inside the compartment under the bowl. Then watch as your pet devours their food while enjoying the aromatherapy, quote-unquote, you have given. The next article is titled, Self-Care While Caregiving. S.D. Flowers, Ph.D., a licensed psychotherapist based in Dallas, shares how caregivers can prioritize self-care. It takes a village. Whether help comes from siblings, friends, a volunteer organization, or even a nonprofit, take off your own cape and do the research to really tap into outlets and resources that are available to you. Energy is everything. Building in moments of rest when you can is important. It's most likely going to require you to set some boundaries, but when you frame it as a necessity, not a luxury, it becomes easier for you to make those shifts. Well, we have run out of time for today's episode of Essence. We hope you enjoyed it and be sure to listen next time. I am Avra Lewis, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Essence is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.